how about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. He's John Littlefoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 G's in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
Hello and welcome to the 312th edition of the Illegal Motion College Football Podcast. Once again, I'm Matt Perkins, and joining us, we finally have the full crew back together here in Nashville, Tennessee. It's our own offensive coordinator, the coach, Corey Burton.
Hey, what's up, boys? It's man, it feels like it's been ages, but man, I'm glad to be back. Josh, Matt, great to see your faces, and it's great to see that those words above our head, man. Illegal Motion. This is the OG of my podcasting, so I always have to. I always have a soft spot in my heart for you guys.
It is. And it's the original for all of us, which reminds me that we cannot get started without the third amigo in the second city. A man who I do not think is excited for Big Ten After Dark, but it's coming whether he wants it or not. It's our intrepid blogger from Big Ten Accounting, Josh Cook.
Yay, Rutgers at UCLA. The first time they'll ever make the Rose Bowl.
I mean, you're not wrong, Josh. You're not wrong. We are going to talk about the bloated Big Ten here on today's show. We've got effectively our Midwest preview show with the Big Ten and the MAC. We're going to continue doing it like we have been with Josh driving the show and letting me just spit out hot takes. And Corey gets to join me in those here today.
Corey's got the cold takes.
Yep. But before
freezing cold takes.
Before we get into that, I want to remind everyone that we are presented by BetOnline.ag, where they continue to be your number one source for all of your online sports wagering needs. You name it, they've got it over there at BetOnline.ag. With the college football season and the NFL season just around the corner, MLB pennant races in full swings, there is no better time than to be over on betonline.ag. Head on over to the website or use your mobile device today to sign up and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with our promo code BELIEVE. That's BLEAV. BetOnline, where the game starts. Josh, we are starting with our home conference. So I will let you go ahead and get into it.
All right. So if you're like Coach and you haven't listened to our first two shows, I've been running things. Matt got a big promotion. Coach took a new coaching gig, and now his school year started. So I'm kind of running things. I am doing a little summary of what happened in the league last year. I have five questions. They are my personal five questions. Feel free to chime in at any point during those five, and then we'll run through how I think they are going to end up. And again, this is just me. In the past, we've each done our own rankings and debated, but this time it's just call and response. So For the Big Ten, to say it was a little one-sided towards one division last year would be an understatement. Michigan won the East and the title game and went to the playoffs. Ohio State went 11-1 in regular season play. They finished second in the East, but they also went to the playoffs. Penn State went 11-2 overall. They won the Rose Bowl and were a top 10 team in the final standings. The West was won by Purdue, who, well, they lost three conference games.
And got smoked by LSU.
Yeah. All told, the league produced an impressive 9 teams with winning records. It was just an extreme disparity between those two divisions. One of the best storylines was Illinois putting together a really competitive season. One of the funniest storylines was Purdue having a breakthrough season only to see everyone leave overnight. And one of the most predictable storylines was seeing Nebraska fire Scott Frost after a hilariously awful.
All right. I got a quick aside because this just happened at our in service. So fast or rewind a week ago. And one of our teachers on staff is a Nebraska fan, and our principal's like, we're the Lawson Lightning now. And so he's like, this is how I envision our intro to be. And he had the intro for Nebraska versus Georgia Southern. And it's because they play Thunderstruck. And I leaned over and go, I think they lost that game.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they did.
And I think the teacher was like, yeah, very funny. We lost that game. Thank you.
Well done.
So my personal 5 questions, Matt, Coach, of course, chime in on any of these. Number 1, does the Big Ten put 2 teams in the playoffs again?
Yeah.
No. Okay. Question 2, who takes advantage of the Wild West in its final season?
I mean, you know what
I'm Fighting Fickles. The Fighting Fickles.
Numero tres. Maryland. They went 8-5 last year, 4-5 in conference, and returned some very key pieces. Do they impact the title race in any way by upsetting Ohio State or Michigan?
I think those teams are too strong for them. They lose. Did they lose Tagovailoa?
No, he's got 1 more year. Oh, he's coming back.
One more year. He's back. Baby.
Why do I think he left?
Well, because Auburn tried to pay him $1.5 million to come down for one season.
That's right. And plus, I didn't read number 4 in the East here. So there you go.
Number 4, can lovable losers Indiana or Rutgers make a bowl game?
Rutgers?
Yes, on Indiana, and I'll tell you why later.
Ooh. And number 5. What the hell is going on in Evanston?
Emphasis on hell.
All right, yeah. So let's run through the standings. Starting with the East, I got Michigan. Quarterback, same as last year, check. Running back duo, same as last year, check. Offensive line, one of the best in the leagues, check. Defense's 7 starters back. Coach, your dogs are projected to be pretty good. Do you have any fear facing this Michigan team in the playoffs?
I don't think they have anybody that can cover Brock Bauer, so no, I have no fear.
Ooh, definitive.
Yeah, definitive. I mean, in all seriousness, like, even if I wasn't a Georgia fan, I would say Brock Bowers is the reason that Georgia should not have any fear playing against Michigan. Michigan's going to be really, really, really good, but I just think that they don't necessarily have I don't think they necessarily have an answer for that. Plus, I think the style of play that Michigan has versus Ohio State's more of a matchup nightmare for Georgia than I think Michigan is, because what Michigan does well, Georgia does well defending it and vice versa.
All right, moving over to the Buckeyes. I got them number 2, Marvin Harrison Jr. He answers a lot of questions because they've got some questions about new quarterback, new look offensive line. But I want to focus on that defense. Matt, the Buckeyes defense famously has given up 87 points to Michigan the last 2 years. Have they solved that issue?
No. No, they have not. Michigan is going to three-peat against the Buckeyes this year and three-peat to win the Big Ten. I mean, I don't see a scenario in which Ohio State beats Michigan this year unless we have serious injuries to the Michigan offensive line. And I think that that's really what it boils down to for me, is that the Buckeyes have some assorted nice players on the defense, but the Michigan offensive line is so good that even with the good players that are in Ohio State's secondary, they don't have the horses in the trenches to keep up with a Michigan unit that should be, once again, the best or at worst top three offensive line in the country.
I concur with Matt. There's no way, like, once Michigan gets it rolling up front, I don't think, honestly, I don't think there's a team in this league that can pony up with those guys once they get kind of going up front.
Well, there's one team that thinks they might have it, and that's my third place team in the East, Penn State. They have Drew Aller. He's a really intriguing prospect. They're pretty excited about him there in Happy Valley.
They feel
he has the ability to lead this offense as effectively, if not more so, than Sean Clifford did the last few years. The running back group that he has to work with is fantastic. His offensive line is really good. They have a legit stud there in Olu Fashanu. The defense, very quietly, might actually be the best in the league. They have just some absolute studs over there.
One of my favorite names in the entire conference, Chop Robinson.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's all name team right there.
They also have their toughest game of the year, Michigan, at home. Their toughest crossover game, Iowa, at home. And they also have a joke of a non-conference that'll set them up pretty nicely with West Virginia, Delaware, and UMass. So Penn State's going to win a crap ton of games. Coach, got a coaching question for you. The biggest weakness for this team is that receiving core. It's pretty much kind of an unknown at this point. How long does it take for that passing game to get into sync when you're facing what Penn State has?
When you have a good quarterback, not long at all, because I think if he's as good of a leader as they say he is, he can get them on the same page. And then if you have a great run game and an O-line that has some talent and your quarterback has time to sling it around, as long as those guys are running the routes at the precise depths and timing, no time at all, and the unknown receiving core will become famously known as the unknown receiving core, kind of like the no-name defense for the Dolphins back in the 70s. It'll be kind of one of those where you're like, who is that? Who is that? Who is that? And then these names will be known by midseason. They'll have some guys you're like, okay, how did we not know this guy?
Well, I think the one thing jumping off of that, Coach, is that one of those guys is a known commodity in Dante Cephas, the Kent State transfer.
He was
electric, absolutely electric for the Golden Flashes, very, very appropriately. And he is someone who could, I think, end up being, you know, first team all conference type of guy. He is someone I am very high on, and I actually think that Penn State is going to finish second in the East this year, ahead of Ohio State.
Yeah, I think Cephas, you know, what I love about Cephas, I forgot about Cephas actually. What I love about Cephas, Georgia played Kent State last year, is seeing him. And the way that Sean Lewis was able to use him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Penn State's going to get real creative here. And I think Drew Aller is going to be like, all right, we can use you here, there, and a little bit of everywhere. So I love this Penn State team as far as the way they're constructed. This has probably been, aside from that Rose Bowl team with Saquon Barkley, this might be my favorite Penn State team that I've seen since James Franklin took over.
I think this is the best Penn State team that they've had since James Franklin took over. I'm really high on Aller. I love the two-headed monster running back. You mentioned Olu Fashanu coming back. Huge piece. Their offensive line is...
Nailed it on the name.
...is just a tick below Michigan's, and I think that they have the potential to do the same thing to Ohio State's defensive line that Michigan can do, and that's why I've got them finishing second with another very strong defense, with the Buckeyes finishing third in the East and Ryan Day's seat turned all the way up.
When they get that crowd rocking, especially in a night game environment, that's not going to be an easy.
It doesn't
one
get much better. It really doesn't get much better.
It's not going to be an easy one for Michigan. I can tell you.
I'll tell you.
Assure you that.
I'll tell you one night game where that crowd did not get going. Iowa's infamous 6-4 victory. That included an intentional safety late in the game by Iowa.
Everyone loves a good intentional safety.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's head down to the Chesapeake. I got Maryland finishing fourth in this division. Coach mentioned him earlier, Tagovailoa. He is back. That's a huge piece back. Because they have a few other holes on this team that need to get worked out, including the offensive line is just one starter back. The defense last year was a complete mess. That side of the ball has got to get figured out. But even with those question marks, thanks to Tagovailoa and thanks to their season last year, to me, this team reminds me a little bit of Minnesota. They're like the East version of Minnesota. They're kind of reliably a bowl program now, but not enough really in the tank to be a true contender. Perko, I see 7 locks or near lock wins on this schedule. So which do you see being more realistic? Them going over that with 8 or more wins, or them not living up to my expectations and winning just 6 games or less? I'm not letting you push and take 7.
Josh, who's the head coach of Maryland?
Michael Oxley.
What do you think my answer is going to be?
You have them going about 4-8.
I'm not saying they're going 4-8, but I'm saying 6-6 is much more likely. I think that, like you mentioned, Tagovailoa and getting Roman Hemby, the running back back, is good for them. But, you know, if you look at some of their crossover games, Illinois is not going to be easy. At Nebraska in mid-November, you say what you will about Nebraska, but Matt Rhule is leaps and bounds better than anything Scott Frost was. Plus, I think they're in much better shape in the quarterback situation as well. Their non-conference schedule, that being said, not super hard. I mean, they've got FCS Towson at home, a Charlotte team in Biff Pogge's first year at home, and yes, then a Virginia squad who is still reeling after the tragic massacre of 3 of their players from last year. So, yes, 3-0 out of conference is very achievable, but, you know, Indiana's a win. Northwestern's probably a win. That's 5. Michigan State's a bit of a toss-up in East Lansing. Rutgers at the end of the season, that could be the game they're playing to win to get to their 6th win of the year, man. Like, it's going to be close. I'll take the under 7.
Well, you just mentioned in that run of their games Sparty, who I have as 5th. Now, Michigan State obviously a few years ago won a lot of games, mm-hmm, and they had a very skilled running back,
Kenneth Walker,
who then went got paid in the NFL, and they lost 7 games last year. They went 5-7. It's like, does a running back really mean that much? Well, now they welcome in a whole bunch of transfers to try and bolster things, but they have put a ton on quarterback Noah Kim's shoulders to jumpstart an offense that averaged less than 20 points per game. And in one of the more startling moves, they kept their awful defensive coordinator, Scotty Hazleton. He was god freaking awful last year. Coach, you've been on plenty of staffs in your life. Why in the world would Mel Tucker retain Hazleton after last year's performance?
They must be really close. That's the only reason I can think of, because when you watch Michigan State play football, it looked like an utter disaster watching them play defense. And I guess they also wanted a reason for Noah Kim to feel a little bit more sense of urgency, because you feel like you have to score every time you touch the ball or you're going to lose. I those are the only 2 reasons I can think of, because my God, were they horrendous on defense a year ago. I think this just shows that Mel Tucker, I don't know that his, I don't
whatever,
know.
Man, like, he got that 95 milli. That's all that matters.
Yeah,
that's all that matters. I mean, what's the most telling thing to me about Michigan State is that the end of spring, Peyton Thorne and Keon Coleman leave, and that's their two best players from last year. I mean,
you know, Auburn's like, yeah, we can't get Tagovailoa, so we're gonna get Peyton Thorne.
Yeah,
next best thing. Great call.
All right, We're heading to
not really
Matt's father's proud alma mater, Rutgers. Really nice defensive foundation. They got 7 starters back on that side of the ball. They have some really nice pieces at running back. They have a good trio of backs there. Feel free to read more about them on my blog. They have a tight end that I absolutely love in Johnny Langan, but they desperately need their quarterback, Gavin Wimsett, to improve. He was a pretty highly touted prospect, came in last year, connected on just 48.5% of his passes.
Whoa. Last time I checked, that's not very good.
Matt, what can we realistically expect from Wimsett now that he's got a little bit better offensive coordinator? He's got Minnesota's former OC, Kirk Shiraka. He's going to simplify the offense. It's an offense that Tanner Morgan succeeded a lot in. So what can we realistically expect from that quarterback?
57% completions. I'd say maybe a 3-2, maybe 4, you know, maybe 5-2, somewhere there in touchdown to interception ratio. I mean, not world beaters, but I do expect them to be better. Wimsett, like you mentioned, was a 4-star recruit coming out of the state of Kentucky. They got jerked around so much. They were playing 3 quarterbacks. Like, they were cycling 3 quarterbacks at once last year. It was just an out, like, play after play after play. You'd see 3 different plays, 3 quarterbacks in a row. It was just an absolute disaster. I have no idea what was happening there.
Steve Spurrier was there.
Yeah. Kirk Shiraka, not a VW Shiraka, but Kirk Shiraka should be able to calm that down. What worries me, though, is the offensive line to be able to keep him upright. I think you're going to see a lot more utilizing his athleticism, a lot more bootlegs, getting him out, half field reads, and then letting him run if he needs to, because he can run. I mean, he's not like the world's greatest runner, but he's also not a statue either. So I would expect a lot more of getting him on the move, running to throw, giving him some easier reads and some, you know, letting Johnny Langan be that number one target, you know, as his, not necessarily his primary guy, but almost always his second read.
Is the good doctor excited about this team?
I don't think so.
I mean, it's Rutgers. Very rarely is he probably ever excited about it. But to Matt's point, I just think having an offensive coordinator that just understands that maybe the turmoil of rotating 3 guys in successive plays might affect – it's hilarious. But it might affect your accuracy rating. Like, I just think him sticking with Wimsett will – automatically get his percentage up to 60. I think just having him play 2 plays in a row and be able to get into a rhythm will help get his pass completion percentage up to 60. I think if he can get it to 65, Rutgers can be a pretty solid team. And I think Shiraka is going to put Wimsett in positions to win. Like Matt said, he's going to move the pocket. They're going to use the run game and play action boots off of that. They'll probably, with Langdon, use RPOs a little bit. They'll try to get some quick game going to get the ball out of his hand so his offensive line doesn't have to protect a whole lot. There's some creative ways you can get your quarterback involved in order to make things life a little bit easier. And he did it for Tanner Morgan. I don't see why he couldn't do it for Wimsett too, who's a 4-star talent.
All right, rounding out the East, we got Indiana. And I think that this team is going to be so much improved over last year, but their record is not going to show it because they have a god-awful, terrible schedule. They're one of the teams that it was their turn to have 5 of 9 league games on the road. They face Louisville in the non-conference. They have crossovers that include Illinois and Wisconsin. Coach, their projected starter right now is Tennessee transfer Taven Jackson, who was a 4-star. Didn't really see the field much, but that's your neck of the woods. What should the Big Ten fans know about Taven Jackson?
Well, Taven Jackson, what you'll notice is he's very, very smooth, very confident in the pocket. His 6'3", 200-pound frame appears bigger than is actually listed. I really like his decision making, his athleticism, just his poise and movement within the pocket. So I think you're getting a guy that I think can take command of this offense and kind of be able to move it down the field. I think outside of Michael Penix Jr., who was really good at that and is really good for the newly crowned Big Ten West member Washington Huskies, I think you're going to see a lot of what Penix did in Taven Jackson. I think for Jackson, not being able to crack the starting lineup at Tennessee shouldn't alert or alarm people with Indiana. It's not that he wasn't good. It's just that you have Hendon Hooker, Joe Milton, and now you have, I'm not even going to try to pronounce his last name yet. I'm going to wait till we get to the SEC show, but Nico.
Gotta learn it. We all got to learn
Nico
it.
Nico Imalva.
Molva?
Imalva. No.
Dolores.
Nico Volvo. Here we go.
Nico Volvo.
He should get an NIL deal with Volvo and just change his name. You know how like they did with Joe Theismann?
Mm-hmm.
They changed it to Heisman. Mm-hmm. So his next NIL deal should be Volvo, and it should be Nico Volvo. Just change his last name. But anyway, he wasn't going to beat any of those guys out. Like, those guys are – when you talk about elite talents, like Joe Milton can literally throw the ball over the mountains. Hendon Hooker is a third-round draft pick, and I think Nico will be
– Nico, I mean, Nico was a five-star. Nico's a five-star.
Nico is legit.
Yeah.
So, Taven Jackson transferred, and he should have. And
in the homecoming, he's from Indiana. Yeah,
and he's from Indiana.
His brother played basketball.
Really good program in Indiana with Center Grove. So I'm excited to watch him. I think he's going to give this Hoosier team a shot in the arm. The team that I'm very low on, Josh, that you're seemingly higher on than me, is Michigan State. So I think Michigan State might finish DFL in the East.
Michigan State's just such an odd ball. In my blog, I called them kind of the X factor, where with so many transfers, we're not really sure what to expect.
Defensively, I don't know what they're doing. Usually you could kind of tell what they want to try to do. I just can't. I don't know. I think Rutgers is going to be pretty good. I think they're going to stabilize offensively, and that'll help a lot. Having a lot of returning starters is going to be big for them. I think Indiana, aside from their tough schedule, I do think that they can win. Like, I'm not overly scared of Louisville. Illinois is really good. Wisconsin will be really good, but I'm not overly scared of Louisville. And I think that they can, compete with Rutgers. They can beat Michigan State. I think they can beat Maryland. Like, I think they're going to be pretty good, and a lot of it's going to be their quarterback.
All right, well, let's head to, unless the league changes their mind with all the new teams, the last year of the beloved Wild Wild West.
Beloved is a bit of a stretch. Go on.
And, I'm wearing the old Hayden Fry hat for a reason. Because, gentlemen, I'm buying the Kool-Aid.
Josh, I'm worried about you, man. I'm Josh, really worried about you.
Josh, I got one question for you.
Yeah.
Did they fire Brian Ferentz?
No.
Did you watch the two-hour clinic on the Outside Zone?
Yes, every second of it is fantastic.
That makes sense.
I am taking Iowa, and here's my reason why. They almost won the division last year with Spencer Petras, who really struggled and then got hurt. They have a huge improvement at quarterback with Cade McNamara. They have bolstered their offensive line and wide receiver core with some key transfers. They have a really good running back in Caleb Johnson, and their defense will be outstanding yet again. The schedule does have a trip to Happy Valley, but their other crossover games are pretty advantageous, Michigan State and Rutgers. I've got Wisconsin right there with them at number two. Matt, I know you have the Badgers.
I do.
So tell us all about
that. Before we dive into that, it doesn't matter if you have Brian Ferentz calling the plays. You could have prime Dan Marino at quarterback. You're not like Brian Ferentz lacks the ability to like keep a drive going.
They gave him incentives. If we average, plays. if we average 25 points, he gets a huge pitiful. Favorite.
But does that also includes like the 10 points a game the defense scores?
We're gonna kick 10 field goals a game.
You're a Division I Power 5 program that's allowed to recruit. Like, I don't know if they know that they're allowed to recruit, but I just don't think Cade McNamara is going to add a whole lot. Like, their defense is going to, their defense is going to have to like average. They're going to have to be the 2021 Georgia Bulldog defense that only that allow less than 10 points a game.
I mean, they're pretty good. I mean, the Iowa defense is pretty
good. They are good.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong.
But can they be elite, which is they're going to have
they
to
already
be
are elite.
Elite. Like
yeah, they elite, were elite, elite. Last year.
Elite.
They were elite, elite last year.
Elite, elite, elite. You get what I'm saying, right? Like they're gonna have they're gonna have to carry a bad offense.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at defensive stats for like the most consistent performers of defense the last few years, it's like Iowa and Alabama. Like,
I know, but they're gonna have to like they're gonna have to go beyond that to carry this bad offense. Is what I'm saying.
The offense is gonna be way better than last year.
I mean, for your sake, Josh. You're the only reason I root for Iowa, but I hope you're right.
I guarantee you it's going to be a better offensive line.
Well, it's because it can't be worse.
That is true.
And that is true.
I mean, they weren't even the worst offense of the Big Ten last year.
Scoring or yards-wise?
Indiana was at the bottom of basically
Indiana,
every offensive
was, stat. Yeah, Indiana was pretty terrible Indiana at everything last year. Yeah. Well, you mentioned Wisconsin. I obviously think that Wisconsin's going to win because it is a new day under Coach Fickell. In Madison, if Josh is drinking the Kool-Aid, I'm putting the Kool-Aid IV into my arms, probably because he buttered me up when I got to interview him and some of the rest of the guys up there in Madison. But I know that Josh, you amongst other people are hesitant about the new system coming into Wisconsin. Phil Longo coming over from UNC is bringing his air raid philosophies to Madison, which is definitely something new. My favorite quote of his from the camp press conference before camp kicked off was the three things I love most in the world are my wife, my children, and slot receivers. Did not think I'd be hearing that out of a Wisconsin coach ever in my life. But, you know, they're going to be spreading it out and running the ball. And they have two healthy running backs and Braylon Allen and Ches Malusi coming in healthy for the first time in his career. They'll be facing a lot more five and six man boxes.
5 minutes.
And instead of the 9-man boxes they were facing, because let's face it, no one was afraid of Graham Mertz throwing at all. Now they have a quarterback who's actually can throw, who scored 10 touchdowns in a single game in Tanner Mordecai before. The switch to the 3-3-5 defense is not going to be the easiest thing, but also not going to be the hardest thing because they were running a varied 3-4 front under Jim Leonard, and it's going to be a lot of rotation of guys, especially along the front seven, who are going to be rotating in. Obviously, I'm very bullish on the Badgers this year. My biggest concerns are getting everyone on the same page on the offense. Obviously, all they've had is a spring and a fall training camp to get an entirely new system in place with a lot of transfer guys. You know, three of their top six receivers are going to be transfers. Potentially two of their starting offensive linemen are going to be transfers. They lost their top two tight ends to medical retirements literally the week before camp started. So going to be a lot of new faces, especially on the offense. But at the end of the day, I think that, you know, they still have the single best offensive player in the West in Braylon Allen. And I'm going to choose to believe that Braylon Allen against light boxes is going to be enough of an offense for Wisconsin to win the West.
So my hesitation, you hit on the big one, all the new faces, you know, Phil Longo's offense at North Carolina was incredible. It's just a lot to implement without a lot of time. My other hesitation was when you compare the Iowa schedule versus Wisconsin schedule, Wisconsin's is harder.
Yes.
Wisconsin has Ohio State. They have road trips to an Illinois team that we like. They have a road trip to Minneapolis. You know, Minnesota's lost some players, but still that's a massive rivalry game for Minnesota. They're going to be hungry as they always are for that one. So, you know, for me, it's 1A Iowa, 1B Wisconsin. It's going to be one of the two teams.
I think Illinois could, I think could be three. I think it's 1A, 1B, 1C. I really like Illinois. Mm-hmm. Yes, they. Yeah,
I'm a big fan of Illinois.
Yeah. I mean, I you know, Bielema scares me a little bit.
All right. Well, let's go to Illinois because I got them third.
Whoa. Can I, like, can I tell you why I like Wisconsin?
Sure.
Of course.
I think, like, I've studied Phil Longo a little bit because, like, I'm an air raid guy. I like air raid stuff. And so I think the system just in general is very digestible. But I think Phil Longo's spin on it, I think really in his love for slot receivers, that doesn't go unnoticed. He makes things, he puts guys in matchups, advantageous matchups. He makes things real simple. Like relatively simple, like not too simple, but he makes things like relatively simple. It's things that you can pick up on. It's creating matchups. It's all concept based. It's like, okay, we're going to like have a few concepts. We're going to get to it a lot of different ways. Right. And I think a lot of times he goes about that, just creates different looks to where it looks like it's 60 different plays, but it's really just like 10 or 12, you know, and just by formation adjustments and things like that, I think putting guys in conflict and making guys defend the entire width of the field puts them in positions to get easy completions. Easy completions gets you down the road. And then when you have Braylon Allen, you get lighter boxes. Teams have to make decisions, right? Like, do we stop Braylon Allen or do we stop these slot receivers? And when those edge guys have to make that decision, that's where Phil Longo's at his best. He was at his best at North Carolina with Sam Howell. He was at his best at that with Matt Corral at Ole Miss. And then when he was at Sam Houston State, that dude broke some scoreboards. So that's why I like Wisconsin. I like the new energy. I think Fickell is great, wins wherever he goes. The only thing I worry about with the defense, Matt, is I'm not a big fan of the 3-3-5. I think up front in this league, I think you need to have more beef up front. I think you need to have more beef. I think this is an even front type of league to where you need four down guys, and then you can play with athletes in space on the perimeter. But you need guys like you need those four down guys.
I think your old school Gary Patterson 4-2-5 would be a better choice than the 3-3-5.
If you
have to play with a nickel, if you're saying yes, I'm going to start with a nickel, I think you know, and I think one of the ways that Wisconsin's countering that is that one of their starting outside linebackers looks like it's going to be TJ Bowlers, who's 270 pounds and is effectively going to play as an end for the most part. Yeah. But still, you know, I do completely agree with that, and that is.
There's ways to manipulate it, but then you're kind of getting away from base 3-3-5. And like what I really liked about Jim Leonard was that he would move guys around and he would manipulate his fronts to get what he needed out of those fronts on the perimeter and up front. And I just don't know if this version of Wisconsin, I mean, I'm pretty sure they are. He wouldn't be at Wisconsin if he wasn't, but I don't know. I don't know if he's as savvy at that as Jim Leonard was.
I mean, few people are. I mean, that's an extraordinarily high bar to clear.
Now Illinois is going to get to
get full benefit. Well, of that. You mentioned the beef up front. That's Illinois' strength. They probably have the best defensive line in the league, or at least one of the best. I know they lost their defensive coordinator, but Brett Bielema is a defensive coach. Got to trust him. I know they lost quarterback Tommy DeVito and running back Chase Brown, but
they got Jimmy Leonard
exactly.
So
yeah, but
be an upgrade. Actually, go ahead.
Well, I mean, their defensive coordinator is coaching Purdue now, so he got promoted. But
he did get promoted. You're right.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, even without DeVito and Brown, Bielema's got his system. Running through their schedule, I see 7 great chances at wins with a few other toss-ups in there. So safe to say a bowl team. I am curious, though, Coach. Recently, Brett Bielema, I think it was at Big Ten Media Days, said that this is his last job and he will retire at Illinois. So if you have that outlook, does it let you coach stress-free? play with house money, maybe take some chances you might not have, be a little bit more aggressive? Or does that outlook make you really complacent and you become Jimbo Fisher and it actually hurts your drive as a coach?
Jimbo Fisher. That guy is as complicated as it gets. Wait till we get to the SEC. That the storyline of the SEC is going to be the Jimbo Fisher, Bobby Petrino dynamic, because that ain't going to work. That's beside the point. I mean, with Coach Bielema's personality, I think it's the former. I think it's going to allow him to be more stress-free, not completely stress-free, because let's be honest, Big Ten football is stressful no matter how you slice it and dice it. But I do think he is a little bit more relaxed in what he does. Maybe that makes it, and again, I think that makes him more aggressive in how he goes about doing things. Like, he's going to take some chances because he knows that he's playing with house money right now. They love him in Illinois. Why? Because he almost got him into the Big Ten title game in year one. Like, Illinois is not one of those programs. I mean, they play in the Big Ten, so yeah, obviously they want to win, but they don't have such unrealistic expectations that if they don't, they're going to run him out of town. So he knows that because of how he did in year one, he can take some chances. Because as an Illinois team, or as a Nebraska or Purdue or somebody like that, in order to get to the top, you have to take big risk, because you're never going to be talented enough to compete toe-to-toe with Wisconsin traditionally, or Iowa traditionally. So you have to take some chances. And I think Bielema understands that. I think he did not understand that at Arkansas. He understands that now. I think he's coaching a lot more free. So, yes. Other people, I would maybe go with the latter, but not Brett Bielema.
All righty. Well, let's head up to the Twin Cities. One of the best trips to make in our league.
Row the boat.
Got Minnesota fourth. I picked them to win the division last year thanks to being the most experienced team in the division last year. They obviously don't have that strength this year, but they do have a really talented quarterback they are excited in. I am not in midseason form yet, so let's make sure I get this.
Ethan Kaliak-Manis.
Yeah, better you than me. I would have said Kalakamanis.
Well, let's just say he's the Greek sensation.
I'm just glad he's not on my roster.
Sweeping the Minneapolis Nation. He also has a really nice receiving core to throw to. One of the Gopher strengths last year was an outstanding defense, but they have just five starters back on that side of the ball. We could wax poetically about Minnesota, but it's kind of our annual tradition when we do these preview shows. Matt, tell us why you hate PJ Fleck.
Wait. Hold on, Josh. Josh, I'm going to need you to ask that question again. I did not get the proper ovation that I needed to answer the question. Hold on.
Matt?
Yes?
Tell us why you hate PJ Fleck.
Okay, that's much better now. That's much better.
Preach it, brother.
Now, hold on. How many Fleck bucks do you have in your account right now, Burton?
I have 37 Fleck bucks. So yeah. I can fail 4 drug tests.
There you go.
Well, to quote The Office, what's the exchange rate of Fleck bucks to Ference nickels?
Well, I mean, there's 20 nickels in a dollar, and the exchange rate of Big Ten championships to Big Ten championships is +2 for Ference. So I'm going to carry the 9, and that's going to be infinity. Because all that Fleck is a con man. He is the definition of a con man. Oh. In a sport filled with egotistical coaches, Fleck's ego is on a different plane than even that of the greats of Nick Saban, of Kirby Smart, of guys who've actually won something worth touting.
So in a world of egomaniacs, he stands out. That's...
Yes, he is one to himself. The fact that he has somehow suckered in this entire athletic department to have his whole row the boat shtick all over the stadium and campus Like, it's baffling to me that they are willing to bend some really nice traditions. I actually have some nice things to say about the University of Minnesota, but that they are willing to bastardize that for this man's gimmicks is laughable. Laughable.
Because so he won that, 11 so games at that's Western how
I
Michigan. Feel.
I will say
that okay, got his like, ass beat in the Cotton Bowl by Wisconsin.
Let me just preface this.
Also, I've got Minnesota finishing sixth this year in the West.
Fair enough. Let me just preface this by saying I genuinely love the Twin Cities, love their stadium.
Mm-hmm.
I normally don't even like concern myself with Minnesota. I know they're a rival, but like I don't lose sleep over them or find anything about them. They win or lose, you know, exciting or disappointing. But I will say, I find it absolutely hilarious to hear them chanting, "Who hates Iowa? We hate Iowa," against every opponent. That is little brother syndrome.
Yeah.
Just good, a little bit.
Good job. You guys can spell your school name. I'm really proud of you for going Minnesota. Wow. No wonder you're a safety school.
Man. All right. Well, if we're doing rants on stuff, let's head over to Nebraska.
I love this. I love
and
this.
I have a little bit of a rant.
I can't follow up on that one. All right. Go for it.
Okay. So Matt Rhule, he's obviously entering his first year at Nebraska. There's a lot of like hype and people are excited, but I just want to remind everyone that his debut seasons at Temple and Baylor went a combined 3-21. So I'm not expecting too much.
Well, he comes into these piss poor programs. So
one of their better defensive players just left the program after Rhule like suspended him for something. I haven't even followed all of that.
Violation of team rules.
Yeah, which
okay. is very vague.
I have documented this often, but Nebraska, when you do the math on stuff, is just in a horrible position for recruiting. It produces very little in-state talent. And a lot of this is a numbers game. And I think when people think Nebraska, they're like, oh, Omaha's a big city. The state population for Nebraska is under 2 million people. That's over a million people less than Iowa. So, like, Iowa has a whole extra million people. Like, that is a huge numbers game. And, like, Iowa faces some of these issues in recruiting as well. Its recruiting golden age, when they were amazing, came with Tom Osborne, who oversigned everybody. There weren't issues with oversight. So he'd signed 400 players and then cut them. And then when they beat the living snot out of women on campus, he would just keep them around. They don't have that anymore. The other thing is when they got to have their recruiting golden age, they had these lifelong rivals, chiefly Oklahoma and then later Texas, to play off against.
And even Colorado, when Colorado was at its best, too.
Yeah. So I'm going to be honest. I don't ever expect Nebraska to ever really be good again. Like, Rhule will do better than Frost. But to me, this program has a ceiling of, like, 8-9 wins, and then maybe a magical season where it all clicks. And they win.
Hey,
like
I know 10. Somebody that was averaging 9-10 yeah. wins a year.
And in fact, I'm going to go a step further. So when all these huge conferences get created, we're having 20-team conferences, we all know the next phase of realignment is ESPN and Fox saying, well, we can't give you the same amount of money. So the schools are going to have a less of a pie piece. And when that happens, massive brands like Ohio State or Alabama or USC, they're going to be leaving the Big Ten and the SEC. They're going to create their own super leagues. And I'm sorry, Nebraska fans. You ain't getting invited to those because you don't have any eyeballs in your state. You have all these population limits on ever being good again. You're going to be pretty down. And I'm telling Nebraska fans right now, when we're doing this show in about 2050, Nebraska is going to be in that equivalent of like the MAC. It just is. So, gentlemen, am I being too much of a Debbie Downer with all this realignment stuff? Is my tinfoil hat on too tight today? Tell me.
Yes. I think when you talk Super Leagues, they tried this in Europe. It didn't work. Nobody. I don't think the Super League thing's going to happen. First of all, it just won't. It just won't.
I think it will.
They tried to make it happen with the top 32 clubs in Europe, and it wouldn't, and it didn't go. But I think when you look at Nebraska, the equivalent program in this day and age that I look at that can be their ceiling is Iowa State. Very similar. But Iowa State was never a power prior to that. Nebraska was. However, there ain't nobody in high school right now that knows jack diddly do about Nebraska. So I think what Matt Rhule needs to do is just get them to where they're averaging 8 or 9 wins a year, get them to their ceiling, win 11 games once or twice, and then he can be Nebraska's version of Matt Campbell.
But the last guy to do that got fired. Look what they did to Bo Pelini.
Well, Bo Pelini got fired not because of his on-the-field stuff. Bo Pelini was...
Bo Pelini got fired for being Bo Pelini.
Bo Pelini is... There's some words to describe him. I don't know if you guys want me to say those things, but Bo Pelini got fired not because he was a bad football coach. He got fired because he's very bombastic and probably set a figurative fire to the entire athletic department. That's probably why he got fired. He cussed one too many people out. He's toxic. Matt Rhule,
what do you think about conspiracy?
I mean, I think Nebraska's inconsequential. Matt Rhule, sis boomba, Matt Rhule, good coach. Yeah. Jeff Sims, Georgia Tech transfer quarterback. Who knows? But, you know, yeah, they've gotten some interesting recruits, but it's hard to recruit to Nebraska, man. Like, have y'all been to Lincoln?
No.
I mean, I know Josh has.
It's trash.
Ain't a whole lot there. Really just ain't a whole lot there. And I'm sorry, but...
Gotta get a Runza when you go there.
It's not... No. I mean...
Matt Rhule got some people.
It can
got enough people to Waco.
Waco at least is in Texas and is a large population center. Like, I think there's probably more people in the metro Waco area than there are in the entire state of Nebraska.
Well, plus, you know, he recruited the Branch Davidians well.
Yeah, and we saw how that turned out for everyone.
They were an integral part of. They're the reason why Liberty has a football program.
All right, let's wrap up the Big Ten. Let's wrap up the Big Ten. Northwestern, I got, believe it or not, 6.
How?
I'll tell you how.
God,
they've had a bit of an off season, to say the least.
Yeah. Northwestern's going to finish 9th
in a 7-team West.
I mean,
they're going to put Innsworth in the standings in the Big Ten West before they put Northwestern.
They haven't had that many people transfer out, and they actually have some decent talent on their roster.
Okay. Cam Porter's good. Read your first sentence. Talent don't matter in that scenario.
It's pretty good.
Read your first sentence. Read your first sentence. Go ahead. Read it. Read it again.
They've had a bit of an off season.
They've had a bit of an off season.
What does that mean?
What does that mean?
Purdue's had as much of an off season, but in a different way.
I would take Hudson Card over Ben Bryant any day. I would trust Ryan Walters more than any coach on the Northwestern staff. I frankly, I over on MikeFarrellSports.com did my Big Ten predictions, and I have Purdue. Josh, you're going to hate this. I have Purdue fourth in the West.
Purdue's defense last year was god awful. Yeah,
because they had Ron English and
they have four starters back.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing. They're no, I'm going to vehemently disagree with you. I do not think Purdue is going to be. Yeah. I think
Purdue, they're certainly not going to be worse than Northwestern at worst case scenario. Northwestern dealing with the magnitude of stuff that they've dealt with this offseason, it ain't going to be pretty for them. Like you don't really recover from that.
I don't know.
I mean, they could surprise me, but I just don't think they will.
We're going to have to agree to disagree.
I mean, Josh. Hudson Card does really nothing for me. They've got Mockerby at running back, who's a nice player, but I'm telling you, this defense is going to be something god-awful, even with the defensive-minded coaching staff that they got now. Like,
and they still finish above Northwestern.
I have them losing to Northwestern.
That ain't going to happen. Northwestern going 0-4 this year. It's going to be brutal. Unless they have some FCS teams in there.
They got Howard. They'll beat
them. Okay, so they'll win at least one. Yeah, that's not good. Not good for them. Purdue's going to finish at least sixth, worst case scenario.
Ryan Walters.
Same with the guy who's the head coach at Northwestern now.
Yeah, but they have Skip Holtz on staff.
Oh, maybe? Yeah, because, I mean, okay, that's nice.
XFL, baby.
Okay, well, just running through Purdue's schedule. I got them losing to Fresno.
Purdue could very easily go 3-whatever, but they're still not going to be.
Virginia Tech's a toss-up. Syracuse is a toss-up. They're losing to Wisconsin. They're losing to Illinois. They're losing at Iowa. They're going to get blown out by Ohio State. They might be able to win at Nebraska. They're going to get blown out by Michigan.
And still finish sixth.
I don't think they'll beat Minnesota. Their most winnable game in league is a road game. It's at Northwestern. And then they end with Indiana.
I still like that a lot more than anything Northwestern has. I don't want to get caught up on this though. We have to agree to disagree.
Keep an eye on it. Keep an eye on it over the course of the season. All right, my champ.
We can agree to disagree.
Yeah, I know. My champion, I got Michigan over Iowa. Sounds like we all have Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. My offensive MVP, Blake Corum, there at Michigan, running back. My defensive MVP, Homer pick, Cooper DeJean at Iowa. Coach of the year, because I have them making the title game, Kirk Ferentz.
That's worst case scenario for you.
My newcomer is Tanner Mordecai. There at Wisconsin. And my first fired is all of Northwestern staff the second of the season.
I think your coach of the year is going to be James Franklin when he finishes second in the.
Oh, that's a good one.
I'm with Coach 100%.
That's a good one.
James Franklin. My newcomer of the year is Dante Cephas, the wide receiver at Penn State as well. My defensive MVP is also a Nittany Lion. It's aforementioned Chop Robinson.
Chop.
Here we go.
Hey, first fired. It's kind of a given that Northwestern staff is going to be fired. So, like, what's our real first fired?
Mel Tucker.
With the payout money. Yeah. I actually really like his last few years haven't been good. But as I mentioned in the blog, I am still a believer in Tom Allen. When you look at the recruiting classes getting better and the fact that the team is like competent, it's not like Chris Ash where they're just like awful. Like that's a well-run football team that just has an awful, awful schedule this year. So I would be disappointed in Indiana if they fired Tom Allen.
They shouldn't. If they haven't fired him by now, I think he would have to go over for them.
Yeah, I don't think he's being fired either.
Like this year would have to be an utter disaster.
Yeah. Yeah, we got to fly through the Mac. We're already
we pause for this quick ad read. If you want to buy some AvidCare, let me know.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So the Mac. Let's recap the Mac last year. It was all about the state of Ohio. Toledo won the league. Ohio won their division. Bowling Green and Miami both went bowling, and the worst team in the league was Akron. The best story, though, was Eastern Michigan. They won 9 games, including their bowl game, just their second bowl win in program history and their first since 1987. My 5 questions are, can Ohio get back to the title game, which would be their 6th appearance since the MAC has had a title game, and then freaking win the thing so they can get their first league title since way back in 1968?
I think so.
All right, my 2nd question, can Chris Kreiten there at Eastern Michigan, can he add to that success last year and maybe contend for that title, put some pressure on Toledo?
As long as Samson Evers is there, I think he's got a chance.
Yeah. Speaking about Toledo, we'll get to them in a little bit, but they have a ton of talent back. Do they roll it back with another title, or do they even go up a level and get into the national poll by the end of this year?
Yes and no.
All right. 4, Miami. They have very quietly gone bowling 2 straight years and 3 out of the last 4.
I think Mario Cristobal is doing a great... Oh, wait.
They did not go bowling last year.
I almost said that with a straight face. They got Blue Raidered.
Will Miami be more of a factor this year as the East is a little bit more open than the West? And then finally, Bowling Green, kind of had a weird season. They lost their bowl game. They got blown out by Ohio in their season finale, but they did upset Toledo during the year. Are they one of those teams that's going to take a step forward? All right, so let's run through it for the East. I got Ohio repeating as division champs. I'm gambling that quarterback Curtis Rourke, who tore his ACL late in the season last year, is good to go. They return 1,000-yard back in Shi Bangura. They have a really talented wideout in Sam Wigloos. The D was hilariously awful last year, but they still went 7-1 in league. So they have, if they Maximum. Grow on that, if they have any growth on that side of the ball, they should be good to go in this division. They get Miami at home and avoid Toledo. Gents, 1968 is a very long time ago. Is this finally the Bobcats year?
It's got to be, right? They're due.
I still think Toledo's too good.
All right. Over to Miami.
Welcome to Miami.
Unfortunately, one of the all-time great names. He's done. He's gone. Mack Heppenhammer. One hell of a wide receiver. He's gone. He's moved on. But quarterback Brett Gabbert. Gabbert missed basically all of last year. He is back and healthy. Coach, do you agree with my tiebreaker that the Red Hawks' harder schedule will be that deciding factor against Ohio?
Yeah, anytime you have a new quarterback or anytime there's some shakeup, yes, I think so. I mean, you look at it there, Miami is at Miami. Go figure.
What?
They're at Cincinnati.
Miami, Ohio, playing at Miami, Florida. Yeah.
It's just funny how you said that.
I know. That's what I was going for.
I was laughing at the delivery, the deadpan.
Miami is at Miami?
It's like, yes. And.
Miami is at Miami.
I thought there'd be more of a sentence there.
No, I just wanted to reiterate the fact that this is the greatest irony of all time. Miami is playing in Miami. I had to double take, make sure it wasn't like the scrimmage game or something like that. They got a road game at Cincinnati. Luckily for them though, they host Toledo. They're at Ohio. Not easy there. Bowling Green's never easy. They're at Western Michigan. Their schedule's pretty hard. Not gonna lie, but they're tough. One of their toughest games is at home against Toledo. So that goes in their favor. So I don't know. It's honestly going to come down October 20th. It's going to be a pivotal moment in the MAC East division.
All right. 3, I'm heading to Bowling Green. They've got Connor Basilek, the former Indiana and before that Missouri quarterback. He wasn't very flashy, admittedly, last year at Indiana, but by MAC standards, he's a pretty good quarterback to have. They have tons of nice pieces around him.
It's not a talent thing. It's a terrible fit.
Yeah, they have a ton of nice pieces around them, including 4 offensive line starters back. Plenty of skill position players returning as well. Matt, though, there's only 6 starters back on defense. But there's a lot to like there. Do you have them as a dark horse?
Yeah, I mean, Bazelak's definitely taken the JT Daniels journey, going from Missouri to Indiana to Bowling Green. Who knows where he'll be next year?
But Incarnate Word.
who knows? I mean, Jacksonville State?
He'll be in the Fun Belt somewhere.
Yeah, definitely. dark horse, yes. But
brown horse, maybe. Brown and orange horse.
Brown and orange horse, maybe. Yeah, I mean, you know what? They're not. I think there's a pretty solid dichotomy between the top three and the bottom three in this division. So, I mean, okay. in as much as that, yes, they can be a dark horse for the league title, because any of those top three teams in the East could win, as far as I'm concerned.
All right.
I think the fact that they have things around Connor Bazelak is good. Like, he was on a pitiful Indiana team where they just couldn't
get anything going. They had no offensive line. He's got the opposite of that here. He's actually got a pretty good by Max Sanders offensive line.
So. Exactly. This might be the best offensive line he's played behind.
And that includes Missouri and Indiana.
Ooh. Yep. All right. Heading over to upstate / Western, both up and west. Western New York, Buffalo. 21. They showed some great strides last year. They won 7 games. They also took down Toledo, but they lost a ton, especially on defense. They have just 5 starters back, and their defense was takeover happy last year. Coach, that defense forced 26 turnovers last year.
Pretty impressive.
Is it true, as a coach, that turnovers regress to the mean each year? Like,
It does. I think it's gonna regress back to the mean a little bit. I mean, that's just natural, but hopefully the pendulum doesn't swing the other way and they go minus 26.
That'd
be a little disastrous, but I think they're gonna get a little bit closer to the mean at least. I don't think they're gonna be plus 26. I don't know what their giveaway rate was last year, but I don't think they're, best case scenario, I think they're probably plus 2, plus 3 turnover. I still think they're going to cause a lot of turnovers, but not as many as they did.
All right. In the 5 hole, I got Akron. We all like their coach, Joe Moorhead, and he's a pretty good quarterback there with DJ Irons. Just not really a complete team around them yet, as they continue to rebuild to compete with the upper half of this division. And then rounding things out, we got Kent State at 6. They have a brand new coach. And basically a brand new team, as they have 0 starters back on offense. Perko, they have a UCLA transfer, though.
No, they don't.
Colin.
No, they don't.
What?
Nope. Their old quarterback transferred out to go to UCLA.
Oh, I had my notes flipped there.
Yep. So, literally have
there's
nothing.
Even less,
this
there's even less to talk
is
about.
Is going
State.
To be
All right.
awful. Probably not going to watch a second of them this year.
All right. Time to double check those notes.
I mean, I haven't logged much time watching Kent State. I think watching Kent State versus Georgia was the most Kent State football I've ever watched.
And they were actually not bad in that game against Georgia.
They were pretty sporty.
They went like 4-8 though last year.
They were pretty sporty, but the whole zero starters
through that door.
The whole zero starters back on offense thing. That might
be a little
bit of a red flag.
Through that door.
All right, well, let's jump over to the West then. Got number 1, Toledo. They are the defending champions, obviously, and they have 16.
Speaking of Nick Saban not walking through that door.
They have 16 starters back. They start at Illinois, and they also have San Jose State in the non-conference. But past that, very likely they're going to be favored in every game. So going back to one of my key questions, gentlemen, can this team be ranked at some point in the year,
like in the 20s, or like are you talking like ranked?
So they're in the pool.
They are looking.
They're
at
in the top. No. They're in the top 25.
Oh,
at any point in the year, even in the final poll after the bowl.
Yeah, I think they can sneak in.
Yeah, you talk, but
21 to 25.
They've got that tough non-con though with Illinois and San Jose State. Those are two tough games. I'm really high on San Jose State this year. I like Illinois a lot. So they might lose those two and win the rest of their games, win the conference title game. They're 11-2 at the end of yeah, then you might see them in the low 20s. But I think it's going to take a little while because I don't see them beating Illinois, and it's a coin flip with San Jose State at best.
All right, heading over to Ypsilanti for second place. I got Eastern Michigan. Starting with the positives, Matt mentioned him earlier. They got 1,000-yard back Samson Evans back. They also have 8 starters returning on that defense. They do have a new-look offensive line. A few other items to kind of patch together on offense. Matt, they travel to Toledo, but overall have a slightly easier schedule than the Rockets. Do they shock the MAC world? Toledo's the consensus winner of this, but do you see a path for Eastern?
Yes.
That puncher's chance. Five percent. But
it's not a great chance.
I mean, so you're saying there's a chance, but I am not.
It's all this 1 in a million talk.
Yeah. It's
All right.
They have a chance.
I'm grouping Northern Illinois and Central Michigan. I have Northern third, Central fourth. The reason I'm grouping them is they have the exact same story. Last year, disappointing seasons for both due to horrible, horrible injury luck. Central Michigan has 9 starters back on defense, which is pretty nice. But Northern Illinois gets their quarterback, Rocky Lombardi, back. He was great 2 years ago for the Huskies, but then missed last year. Coach, I have NIU just nosing out Central. Is that the correct order, or do you have them flipped?
No, I like that order because I'm a big fan of Rocky Lombardi.
Rocky Lombardi's been around since the Clinton administration.
That dude is you talk about a veteran, man. That dude can sling it, man.
I mean, yeah, he's a like veteran. He served in freaking Vietnam. Like, come on.
He was a tunnel rat. That's why he's so tough.
All righty. Number 5, I'm going to continue to show that I know these towns. We're going to go to Muncie, Indiana for Ball State. They lost 4 league games last year by a single score.
David Letterman ain't walking through that door. Oh.
They return a ton of talent, including something rather rare, a tight end duo where both players are like awesome. And that is Brady Hunt.
I know this problem.
And Tanner Kozawel. Matt, do you see this team flipping their terrible luck last year and being a little bit of a factor and getting back to a bowl game?
It's going to be tough, but frankly, like after Toledo, you can make a case for a lot of these teams in the West with injury luck, you know, besides, you know, it's sort of like 2 through 5 in a lot of ways could be a crapshoot. So yeah, they can definitely make it back to a bowl. It's not what I would necessarily bet on because I like some of the pieces on those other teams, like you mentioned, Eastern Michigan and Northern Illinois more, but there's definitely a world that Ball State makes it to a bowl. I'm with you. I would have them 5 preseason here.
All right. And rounding things out over in Kalamazoo, Western Michigan, brand new coach as well, just like Kent State. They have just 2 starters back on their team. So brand new team as well there. My champion, unfortunately, Ohio bridesmaid yet again. I've got Toledo over Ohio.
Ohio's due. I'm going Ohio.
I'm going to take the chalk and go with Toledo because that team has too many guys back. Yeah.
This is Maction, guys.
It is Maction. My offensive MVP, one of those numerous Toledo players back. They're electric. Quarterback, this dude is awesome, Daquan Finn.
I'm gonna say Rocky. No, I like your pick. Never mind. Just kidding.
I'm gonna go with Brett Gabbert actually at Miami.
Ooh, I like that. My defensive MVP. I've done this for a few other teams where it's kind of a cop out, but I think Eastern Michigan with those 8 starters back is gonna have an incredible defense. I think one of the reasons they're gonna contend and finish second in the division is that defense. And frankly, I think somebody from that Eastern Michigan defense is going to win defensive MVP. I just don't know who yet.
Your guess is as good as mine here. I got nothing on this one. I'm not going to lie. I got absolutely nothing on this one, Coach.
Shoot. So someone.
I mean, is Khalil Mack still eligible for Buffalo? Like,
I can tell you, it's not going to be somebody from Kent State. Western Michigan.
That's true.
My coach of the year, Jason Candle over there at Toledo.
Yeah, if chalk happens, it's definitely Jason Candle.
Yeah, that feels about right.
Newcomer, he's got a lot of...
My coach of the year is Sean Lewis for leaving Kent State with no starters on offense. Jesus.
My newcomer of the year, we've talked a fair amount about him now, but Connor Bazelak there at Bowling
Green. Yeah, it's pretty easy. That's a pretty solid choice.
Yeah. All right, and my first fired, honestly... All the bad teams have new coaches, so I think the MAC is going to avoid any coaching changes due to firing.
Yeah, I it's hard to find somebody who's going to get fired here because
Mike New maybe at Ball State if they fall apart.
Maybe, but again,
he's won a title with them.
If Buffalo regresses to the mean and that means more losses, is there a chance there? I don't see Moorhead
last year.
I don't see Akron firing Moorhead because they had such a hard time hiring somebody.
No. This is only a second year.
Yeah, no, it's definitely not going to happen.
Yeah, it's not. I don't know. Like Ball State?
Yeah. So I think that's really.
Is he, I mean, how new is he?
Mike New.
Mike New.
He's been there.
He's always new.
Five years?
5 years? Yeah. So, like, it's more than enough time. So, if it's...
They won the MAC, though.
If it's a disaster, maybe. 2020? I don't know. That's a tough one.
Did they win the COVID year, or was it the year after COVID?
It's a tough one.
Maybe Shark Humper? I don't know. Yeah. Just to guess.
All right.
Let's say Shark Humper.
It was 2020. It was the COVID season that they were MAC champs. Nice. And they beat Buffalo in the conference title game.
There we go. That'll do it. That's all I got for you guys.
All right. Well, that was
another stunning success.
That was a good one. I think
Corey, did you listen to the last few seconds of last week's episode yet?
No.
Well, I mean, I hate to repeat the joke, but it's so good. I joked that you sent me and Matt a text while we were recording, and the text said that you bought a jersey.
Oh,
and the jersey is a house divided jersey where it's half Texas burnt orange, half Oklahoma maroon, and the name on the back says SEC.
It's in the mail.
It's in the mail, Coach.
It's in the mail.
It's in the mail. It's in the mail. It's wearing number 69, and that is Corey's going to be wearing that at SEC Media Days next year. If you're at Media Days or anywhere else and happen to run into any of us, say what's up. And on that note, I think that's going to do it for us here today on the Illegal Motion College Football Podcast. So, on behalf of our own offensive coordinator, the coach, Corey Burton, here in Nashville, Tennessee, and our intrepid blogger from Big Ten Accounting, Josh Cook, up there in the Windy City. This is Matt Perkins in Nashville saying so long, and see you next time on the Illegal Motion College Football Podcast.
Peace out.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. He's John LaFoot.
And he stole our crunch!
Quick, the zip line!
He's getting away!
Throw our last crunch berry!
No!
No one steals my crunch berries!
I think you mean my crunch berries? Choose your own crunch venture with Cap'n Crunch!
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Are you struggling to lower your bad LDL cholesterol, even though you may be taking a statin, swapping steaks for salads, and exercising while listening to this podcast? Ask your doctor if Repatha, evolocumab, is right for you. With Repatha, you can dramatically reduce bad cholesterol and the risk of another heart attack while enjoying life too, because you're human. And with convenient self-administration, you can take Repatha in the comfort of your own home. Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Repatha can cause serious allergic reactions. Signs include trouble breathing or swallowing, or swelling of the face. Most common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site. Visit Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA. Talk to your doctor today about Repatha.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.